Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us for a look at the story is John Jackson. He is from Southern Illinois University in Carbondale, a Paul Simon Public Policy Institute visiting professor. He's been researching politics for more than four decades, and we are very pleased to have him on KMOX. Professor, thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I'm glad to do it.
You have, as I mentioned, been researching this for many, many years. Have you ever seen anything like this?
No, I haven't, and there hasn't been anything like this for 100 years, and I've been around a while, but not that long.
When they say that a sixth vote failed for Kevin McCarthy, people are calling on him to just withdraw. If he even were to get the votes together a seventh time or an eighth time, wouldn't that just make him a very weakened speaker who wouldn't be able to pull his party together in a leadership position?
You're exactly right, and that's really the danger here, because if you weaken the speaker, the House will be even more chaotic than it ordinarily is. This goes back to Newt Gingrich, who centralized power in the speaker's office, and the House is huge. It's 435. It's not like the Senate. And it's difficult enough to get the House to do anything as it is, but it takes a strong speaker, as Nancy Pelosi, for example, has been. And just look at the predecessors to this Kevin McCarthy possibility. John Boehner and Paul Ryan both resigned and gave up not only the speakership, but gave up their seat in Congress because they got so frustrated dealing with exactly these same people.
I'm curious your opinion on this. Do you think that the public is paying attention to this? Does it matter to the public right now, Professor?
Well, I think they have a general impression that it is chaotic and that it's messy and it's probably not a good thing. I don't think they follow the details the way I do and the way you do, but I think the public does know that the House needs to be getting on with the business of running the country and not spending all this time on what is essentially a parliamentary procedure matter, but it's one with great implications for whether or not the Republican caucus can manage the House and get anything done in the coming 2 years.
Because until they have a speaker, nothing else happens. They can't look at any bills. They can't swear in any new members. So basically, people complain that politicians don't get anything done. Well, they literally right now aren't getting anything done.
Well, and it's really only about 20 members of the House caucus. This is the most extreme part of the Republican side on the House caucus. And those 20 members go back really to a little quick history, 2008 and 2009, we had the whole Tea Party uprising, the fiscal crisis, the Great Recession. Tea Party was born. They elected some of these very, very right-wing members. They now call themselves the Freedom Caucus, but it's essentially that tradition which is more interested in their own power and the small caucus they consist of having an outsized influence even on the Republican side of the House.
What do you think happens now? I mean, if there's no end in sight here for McCarthy, what happens?
Well, my solution, and I think there's some talk of this, is someone like Steve Scalise, who is McCarthy's right-hand man. He's from Louisiana. And he would probably be acceptable to some of these Never McCarthy group. He apparently gets along with them. And he would potentially take over as Speaker without doing all this compromise. Right now, the overnight news is that McCarthy has agreed to go down to one, being the number of members who can call a vote of no confidence. It's called to vacate the speakership, but it's essentially the British equivalent vote of no confidence to bring down the speaker. And if just one dissident can do that, it would be chaotic. It would be chaotic at five, but he apparently went from five to one overnight. In the current rule, which is, of course, was key to Pelosi's strength, it takes a majority of the Democratic caucus, and that's the rule in place, and that's the rule the House should adopt again, not just one or five members bringing down the speaker.
What would have to happen for a Steve Scalise or someone else? So Kevin McCarthy would have to withdraw and then other people put names forward? Is that the process?
Yes, that would be exactly it. And he has shown no proclivity for withdrawing, but I think he doesn't want to show any sign of weakness. But if this latest series of compromises that he offered overnight doesn't get the job done, then I don't see what other alternative he has. He could stick it out and something happen, but right now it's looking fairly bleak for him, I would say.
I wanted to go back to something that you said before, because I hadn't really thought about the Nancy Pelosi equation. People have said that she was a very strong speaker, and I know she was very divisive. A lot of Republicans used her in their campaign ads as kind of a boogeyman. But as you point out, she was able to hold the Democrats together for years, whereas the last several speakers before her were not.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it goes back to something that's fairly esoteric. That is the rule about how many members of the caucus can insist on a vote on whether to continue with this speaker. And that's the rule they had, and it worked for her, and it worked to get laws passed and bills considered and all of that. And nobody could accuse her of not running an organized house. And that's what the Republican speaker should aspire to. It's, again, back to the Newt Gingrich model.
John Jackson is at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. I was there last night. Always great to be with everyone there. Paul Simon, Public Policy Institute visiting professor. Thank you for the perspective and the insight this morning.
Well, thank you. If you were there for the Drake basketball game, you saw a barn burner.
I was. Called that one last night on ESPN+. Appreciate you very much.
Okay. I'm glad to talk with you.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.